Welcome to the Voice of America in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播。现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
听众朋友好，今天是2016年8月11号星期四，现在是北京时间下午5点，下面为您播报新闻。利比亚亲政府部队说，他们已经控制伊斯兰国在苏尔特市的总部所在地。这个声明是由忠于利比亚全国团结政府的部队发出的。美国不断对伊斯兰国组织的目标发动空袭，意图是要把这个恐怖组织赶出苏尔特市。这个沿海城市一直是伊斯兰国组织实施行动的一个据点。美国官员星期三强调，美军地面部队不参与任何直接的地面战斗。五角大楼发言人特洛布里奇说，我们在利比亚的使命仅限于空袭行动，这是在忠于利比亚全国团结政府的部队的请求下进行的援助。他说，我们提供特殊的能力，特别是在情报、监视、侦查以及精准打击方面，这将有助于叙利亚全国团结政府的部队做出果断和战略性的推进。美国迄今已经对伊斯兰国组织总共进行了28次空袭，这是奥德赛闪电行动的一部分。这个行动是应利比亚民族团结政府的请求，于8月1号开始的。土耳其一名驻美国的海军少将失踪，有报道说他是在土耳其当局要求他回国参与因军事间谍指控而进行的审讯之后失踪的。这名土耳其海军少将叫穆斯塔法·乌古鲁，他是北约派驻位于美国维吉尼亚州诺福克北约盟国司令部的一个下属机构的工作人员。据报道，乌古鲁已经交还了他的证件，于7月22号失踪。乌古鲁上个月在未遂政变发生之后，接到国内要他回国的命令。一名土耳其官员告诉路透社，政变之后还有两名土耳其驻美军官被召回，但是并没有遭到拘捕。美国海军的一名军官告诉记者，美国有100多名土耳其军事人员，一部分在北约基地工作，一部分是美国军事机构的交换人员。乌古鲁是上个月军事政变之后被解职的数百名军官中的一位。美国国务院公民与移民服务局以及国土安全部等机构还没有对乌古鲁的案子发表任何的评论。北约建议记者向土耳其政府了解有关乌古鲁的情况。在土耳其，乌古鲁曾经涉嫌参与了2011年一批海军军官的阴谋活动，法院曾下令拘捕乌古鲁。乌古鲁的案子可能会进一步加剧美国和土耳其之间的紧张关系。安卡拉已经要求引渡居住在美国的穆斯林神职人员居伦。土耳其政府指控居伦策划了推翻阿尔多安总统的政变。但是美国回应说，如果要把居伦引渡给土耳其，美国必须看到有关居伦犯罪的证据。俄罗斯总统普京指责乌克兰选择恐怖放弃和平。普京是在克里米亚遭受袭击之后说这番话的。普京说，这一袭击是乌克兰军方和情报部队一手策划的。普京星期三在莫斯科的一个新闻发布会上说，试图挑起暴力升级和冲突只不过是要转移公众的注意力。普京说，我们当然要尽全力保证基础设施和公民的安全。但是乌克兰总统波罗申科驳斥了普京的说法，称他们同样的刻薄和疯狂。波罗申科说，我们永远都不会使用恐怖手段使克里米亚解除占领。里约奥运会星期三进入第五天，美国游泳队的老将菲尔普斯和新秀雷德基德在他们俩的带领下继续称霸各个游泳的比赛项目。雷德基德女队获得4x200米自由泳接力赛的金牌。美国在2012年伦敦奥运会上也夺得了这个项目的金牌。这是雷德基德本人在本届奥运会上夺得的第三枚金牌。各位听众，以上是美国之音的一组新闻简讯，感谢收听。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，在第一课中我们重点讲怎样给人做介绍，电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Michael Epstein. Mr. Epstein is in his office in San Jose, California. Hello, Mr. Epstein.
Hello.
Today we're going to talk about the first time Ms. Graham met Mr. Blake.
On Wednesday, June 12th of last year.
That's right. They met in the lobby of Mr. Blake's hotel, and you introduced Mr. Blake to Ms. Graham. Let's listen to the first part of that conversation. You had just arrived at the hotel, and you were looking for Mr. Blake. Let's listen.
Now, let's see. Where is he? Oh, there he is, over there reading the newspaper. Mr. Blake?
Oh, hi, Mike. How are you today?
It's good to see you, Charles. This is our vice president, Shirley Graham. Shirley, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Blake.
Pleased to meet you, Ms. Graham.
Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham had never met before, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Mr. Blake and I met in Beijing at a trade show, but Ms. Graham had never met Mr. Blake.
So they were getting a first impression of each other.
Yes, that's right. It was important.
On our next show, we'll listen to more of this conversation.
Okay.
Thank you very much for being on our show.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
文化点滴。
Today, we're going to talk about business introductions in American companies. The email question is, how should I introduce a colleague to an American?
Well, just remember, you have two responsibilities. First, you have to make sure that each person learns the other person's name and business title. That's the easy part.
Why is that the easy part?
Because you can use standard language, like, Harry, I'd like you to meet Sally. Sally is our vice president of marketing.
Saying, I'd like you to meet, is pretty standard.
But after you've introduced the two people, you should try to help them continue the conversation.
Because when two people meet for the first time, they may not know what to say to each other.
Yes, that's exactly right. So you can add some information that will help them start talking. For example, you can say, Harry just got back from Singapore. Then Sally can say, how was your trip? Or, how did you like Singapore?
So you help them to begin to make small talk.
Yes, exactly. Small talk makes everyone very comfortable.
Thanks again, Gary, for your valuable information.
I'm always glad to help.
商务对话。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Harry Abrams. Harry is our vice president of marketing.
Yes, come in.
Harry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'd like you to meet Mary Jenkins, our new office manager.
It's nice to meet you, Mary.
Nice to meet you too, Mr. Abrams.
Mary was office manager at Global Electronics.With your old friend Bob.
Oh, really? How is Bob?
He's doing very well. He's a vice president now.
I'm glad to hear it.
Mary, you mentioned that you like to ski. Well, Harry is an excellent skier.
I'd be glad to talk to you later about some good places to ski.
Sounds great.
Well, we'd better be moving on. We have a lot more introductions to make today.
It was nice to meet you.
Same here.
Gary 提示。
Today I'll be talking about how to make introductions. Sometimes you will need to introduce one of your business colleagues or co-workers to another. And sometimes you will be introduced to someone else. So it is very useful to know the expressions to use in these situations. Earlier, we listened as Mr. Epstein introduced Ms. Graham and Mr. Blake. He first introduced Ms. Graham to Mr. Blake using the expression, "This is."
This is our Vice President, Shirley Graham.
He introduces her by her title, Vice President, and by her full name, Shirley Graham. Then he introduces Mr. Blake to Ms. Graham. Again, he uses the expression, "This is."
Shirley, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
Mr. Epstein calls Ms. Graham by her first name, Shirley, because they work together and are comfortable using first names. Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham are meeting for the first time, so they use last names. They say Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Blake.
Pleased to meet you, Ms. Graham.
And in today's business dialogue, we learn some other expressions for making introductions. To begin the introduction, the president tells Mary the name and title of the company vice president.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Harry Abrams. Harry is our vice president of marketing.
The expression, "I'd like to introduce you to," can be used when you introduce someone or before you introduce them. Let's listen again.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Harry Abrams. Harry is our vice president of marketing.
Yes, come in.
Harry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'd like you to meet Mary Jenkins, our new office manager.
The company president uses the expression, "I'd like you to meet." "I'd like you to meet" and "I'd like to introduce you to" are two common ways to make introductions. Notice that Mary calls Harry Abrams Mr. Abrams because he is company vice president.
It's nice to meet you, Mary.
Nice to meet you too, Mr. Abrams.
They say, "It's nice to meet you," because they are meeting for the first time. When they see each other again, they will say, "It's nice to see you." The president then gives some additional information about Mary.
Mary was office manager at Global Electronics with your old friend Bob.
Oh, really? How is Bob?
He's doing very well. He's a vice president now.
I'm glad to hear it.
Making an introduction is more than giving a name and job title. You can also help people feel comfortable with each other through small talk. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary.
本星期第二课，我们重点讲解了给人做介绍和向人问候的语言。电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Charles Blake. Mr. Blake is in his office at International Robotics in Beijing. Hello, Mr. Blake.
Hello.
On our last show, we spoke with Mr. Epstein. We talked about your first meeting with Shirley Graham.
Yes, I was a little nervous about meeting her. I knew that Mr. Epstein wanted to do business with me, but I knew that Shirley Graham had some concerns. So it was very important to me to establish a good personal relationship with her.
Well, today we're going to listen to your first conversation with her.
In the lobby of my hotel?
That's right.
Okay.
Now, let's see. Where is he? Oh, there he is, over there reading the newspaper. Mr. Blake.
Oh, hi, Mike. How are you today?
It's good to see you, Charles. This is our vice president, Shirley Graham. Shirley, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Blake.
Pleased to meet you, Ms. Graham.
How are you today?
Fine. And you?
Just fine. Mike tells me that he took you around San Francisco yesterday.
We had a great time yesterday. We went down to Fisherman's Wharf and we had lunch. And then we drove around San Francisco and saw a bit of the city.
Is this your first trip to the West Coast?
Well, not really. I was here about 7 years ago, just for a very brief visit. And now I have a little bit more time to see some of the city.
What did you think of Ms. Graham?
Oh, I thought she was very friendly.
So you felt that you could do business with her?
Well, I didn't know, but I hoped so. I knew there were several important issues we needed to discuss. But I felt that I could convince her to buy our industrial robots.
Well, we'll see how the negotiations went as our show continues. Thank you very much for being our guest.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Today we're going to talk about business conversations. The email question is, why do Americans talk so much? When I'm with American businessmen, they never stop talking.
Well, it's true. Most Americans do talk a lot. Americans keep talking in conversations because silence makes a bad impression on most Americans.
Do you think so?
Yes, I do. If you are silent, the other people may think that you are bored. They may even think that you don't like them.
So it makes a bad impression.
Yes, so Americans use a variety of strategies to avoid silence.
Really?
Yes. For example, listeners use a lot of expressions like, uh-huh, and really. These expressions tell the speaker that we are interested in what they are saying. Uh-huh is a little word, but it is better than being silent.
I see.
And if we need time to think, hmm, or let me see, tells the listeners, I will say something soon. Hmm is better than thinking in silence.
Hmm. That's very interesting information, Gary. Thanks again. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Mr. Myers?
Yes, that's right.
I'm Sandra Powers. I work with Mr. Malone.
Ms. Powers, how do you do? I've been looking forward to meeting you.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Myers. You've come a very long way on this trip, so I hope things are going well. Welcome to San Francisco.
Gary 提示.
Today I'll be talking about how to introduce yourself. Sometimes you will arrange a meeting with someone that you've never met before. If there is no one to introduce you, you will have to introduce yourself. In today's business dialogue, Ms. Powers has never met Mr. Myers before. So first of all, she has to confirm if the person she sees is really Mr. Myers. She could say, "Excuse me, are you Mr. Myers?" Instead, she confirms in a different way. She says his name as if it were a question. Mr. Myers? Let's listen.
Mr. Myers?
Yes, that's right.
After she confirms that the man is Mr. Myers, Ms. Powers introduces herself.
I'm Sandra Powers. I work with Mr. Malone.
Ms. Powers, how do you do? I've been looking forward to meeting you.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Myers.
Mr. Myers uses the formal expression, how do you do? You should only use the expression, how do you do, when you meet someone for the first time. At other times, you can say, how are you?
Ms. Powers, how do you do? I've been looking forward to meeting you.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Myers.
Now let's listen to a different conversation. Ms. Powers is looking for Mr. Myers of Dover Limited. But this time, she talks to someone who is not Mr. Myers.
Mr. Myers?
Excuse me?
Are you Mr. Myers from Dover Limited?
No, I'm afraid not. Why don't you ask reception to page him?
Oh, thank you. I'll do that. Sorry to bother you.
Oh, not at all.
The man uses the polite expression, no, I'm afraid not,
to tell Ms. Powers that he is not Mr. Myers.
Are you Mr. Myers from Dover Limited?
No, I'm afraid not.
Ms. Powers apologizes to the man, using the expression, "Sorry to bother you."
Sorry to bother you.
Oh, not at all.
His response, "Oh, not at all," means that it's okay, it's no problem. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary.
第三课我们重点讲怎样用客气的言辞打断别人的谈话。首先是电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Shirley Graham. Ms. Graham is in her office at Advanced Technologies in San Jose, California. Hello, Ms. Graham.
Hello.
On our show, we've been talking with Mr. Epstein and Mr. Blake about the first time you met Mr. Blake.
Yes, I remember that meeting very well. Mr. Epstein had spoken very highly of both Mr. Blake and his company. But I still needed to find out more about Mr. Blake and his robots. That's why we scheduled this lunch meeting. I was looking forward to meeting him and finding out more about his company.
Well, let's listen to your conversation with Mr. Blake.
Mike tells me that he took you around San Francisco yesterday.
We had a great time yesterday. We went down to Fisherman's Wharf and we had lunch. And then we drove around San Francisco and saw a bit of the city.
Is this your first trip to the West Coast?
Well, not really. I was here about 7 years ago, just for a very brief visit. And now I have a little bit more time to see some of the city.
Well, I hate to interrupt, but we have a car outside, and we have reservations at 12:15. So why don't we get over to the restaurant, and we can continue our conversation there? Okay?
Okay.
Sounds fine to me.
Okay, let's go.
What were your first impressions of Mr. Blake?
Well, he seemed very friendly and very professional. He had a good handshake, and his eye contact was good. He gave a good first impression.
I see. Thank you for talking with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Today, we're going to talk about interrupting. The email question is, I have trouble interrupting in English. Can you help me?
Well, interrupting is sometimes necessary, but it can be rather difficult.
Why?
Because you don't want to interrupt someone in the middle of a sentence. The best time to interrupt someone is between sentences.
Why is that difficult?
Because the time between sentences is often very short, less than 1 second.
That's a really short time.
Yes, you have to say something like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you have to say it really fast. It's usually easier to get the person's attention visually so that they will stop talking.
How do you do that?
Well, you can move close to the person, establish eye contact, and open your mouth a little. That shows that you want to say something, and they may stop talking.
That's a good idea.
One last strategy is to point up with the index finger and say, excuse me. Then the person may stop talking long enough for you to interrupt.
Those are wonderful strategies for a very difficult skill. Thanks, Gary.
Dialogue 1.
第一段对话。
But Mary, we can't possibly finish by Tuesday.
But that's our deadline. You'll have to find a way.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's a Mr. Walters waiting to see you. He says he has a 2 o'clock appointment.
Oh, is it 2 o'clock already? Sorry, Bob. We'll have to continue this some other time.
Dialogue 2.
第二段对话。
And then I flew to Los Angeles and stayed with my wife's sister. She took us around the city. We went shopping in Beverly Hills and visited UCLA.
Excuse me for interrupting, but it's time for the production meeting.
I thought the meeting was tomorrow.
No, it's today.
Oh, thanks for reminding me.
Dialogue 3.
第三段对话。
And so I think we should delay the decision until after the board meeting.
But it can't wait until then.
Excuse me, Ms. Harris, but Mr. Diego is on the phone. He says it's urgent.
Okay. Sorry, Sam. I've got to take this call. We'll talk about it later.
No problem.
Gary 提示。
Today I'll be talking about how to interrupt. Sometimes when people are talking, you may need to interrupt them. Of course, whenever possible, you should wait until it is your turn to speak. But when you need immediate action, you may have to interrupt. For example, Mr. Epstein interrupts Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham to let them know that it is time to leave. Mr. Epstein uses the polite expression, I hate to interrupt, but...
Well, I hate to interrupt, but we have a car outside, and we have reservations at 12:15. So why don't we get over to the restaurant, and we can continue our conversation there?
He suggests that they continue their conversation at the restaurant. In today's business dialogues, we see other examples of interruptions. In the first dialogue, Bob and Mary are talking about an important deadline. Sam has to interrupt to let Mary know that someone is waiting to see her.
But Mary, we can't possibly finish by Tuesday.
But that's our deadline. You'll have to find a way.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's a Mr. Walters waiting to see you. He says he has a 2 o'clock appointment.
Oh, is it 2 o'clock already? Sorry, Bob. We'll have to continue this some other time.
Sam uses the polite expression, I'm sorry to interrupt, but... He uses this expression to get Mary's attention and to interrupt the conversation. In Business Dialogue 2, Joseph is telling Tara about his trip to California. She interrupts his story to remind him that the production meeting is going to begin.
And then I flew to Los Angeles and stayed with my wife's sister. She took us around the city. We went shopping in Beverly Hills and visited UCLA.
Excuse me for interrupting, but it's time for the production meeting.
I thought the meeting was tomorrow.
No, it's today.
Oh, thanks for reminding me.
She uses the small sound, and the expression, excuse me for interrupting, but, to get his attention. In this case, Joseph didn't know there was a meeting, and he thanks Tara for reminding him. In Dialogue 3, the young woman uses the expression, excuse me, and the person's name to interrupt the conversation.
And so I think we should delay the decision until after the board meeting.
But it can't wait until then.
Excuse me, Ms. Harris, but Mr. Diego is on the phone. He says it's urgent.
Okay. Sorry, Sam. I've got to take this call. We'll talk about it later.
No problem.
In each of these cases, the person uses a polite expression to interrupt and to give the important news. If your news is important, the person will be happy that you have interrupted. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
各位听众，今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听，我们下星期再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
听众朋友，下面为您播报新闻。利比亚亲政府部队说，他们已经控制伊斯兰国在苏尔特市的总部所在地。这个声明是由忠于利比亚全国团结政府的部队发出的。美国不断对伊斯兰国组织的目标发动空袭，意图是要把这个恐怖组织赶出苏尔特市。这个沿海城市一直是伊斯兰国组织实施行动的一个据点。美国官员星期三强调，美军地面部队不参与任何直接的地面战斗。五角大楼发言人特洛布里奇说，我们在利比亚的使命仅限于空袭行动，这是在忠于利比亚全国团结政府的部队的请求下进行的援助。他说，我们提供特殊的能力，特别是在情报、监视、侦查以及精准打击方面，这将有助于叙利亚全国团结政府的部队做出果断和战略性的推进。美国迄今已经对伊斯兰国组织总共进行了28次空袭，这是奥德赛闪电行动的一部分。这个行动是应利比亚民族团结政府的请求，于8月1号开始的。土耳其一名驻美海军少将失踪，有报道说他是在土耳其当局要求他回国参与因军事间谍指控而进行的审讯之后失踪的。这名土耳其海军少将名叫穆斯塔法·乌古鲁，他是北约派驻位于美国维吉尼亚州诺福克北约盟国司令部的一个下属机构的工作人员。据报道，乌古鲁已经交还了他的证件，于7月22号失踪。乌古鲁上个月在未遂政变发生之后，接到国内要他回国的命令。一名土耳其官员告诉路透社，政变之后还有两名土耳其驻美军官被召回，但是并没有遭到逮捕。美国海军的一名军官告诉记者，美国有100多名土耳其军事人员，一部分呢是在北约基地工作，另一部分是在美国军事机构的交换人员。乌古鲁是上个月军事政变之后被解职的数百名军官中的一位。美国国务院公民与移民局以及国土安全部等机构还没有对乌古鲁的案子发表任何的评论。北约建议记者向土耳其政府了解有关乌古鲁的情况。在土耳其，乌古鲁曾经涉嫌参与2011年一批海军军官的阴谋活动。法院曾经下令拘捕乌古鲁。乌古鲁的案子可能会进一步加剧美国和土耳其之间的紧张关系。安卡拉已经要求引渡居住在美国的穆斯林神职人员居伦。土耳其政府指控居伦策划了推翻阿尔多安总统的政变。美国回应说，如果要把居伦引渡给土耳其，美国必须看到有关居伦犯罪的证据。俄罗斯总统普京指责乌克兰选择恐怖，放弃和平。普京是在克里米亚遭受袭击之后说这番话的。普京说，这一袭击是乌克兰军方和情报部队一手策划的。普京星期三在莫斯科的一个新闻发布会上说，试图挑起暴力升级和冲突只不过是要转移公众的注意力。但是乌克兰总统波罗申科驳斥了普京的说法，称他们同样的刻薄和疯狂。波罗申科说，我们永远都不会使用恐怖手段使克里米亚解除占领。里约奥运会星期三进入第五天，美国游泳队在老将菲尔普斯和新秀雷德基德的带领下继续称霸各个游泳比赛项目。雷德基德率女队获得4×200米自由泳接力赛金牌。美国队在2012年伦敦奥运会上也曾经夺得这个项目的金牌。这是雷德基德本人在本届奥运会上夺得的第三枚金牌。菲尔普斯在男子200米个人混合泳半决赛中占据榜首，顺利进入星期四的决赛。到目前为止，菲尔普斯已经在本届奥运会上夺得三枚金牌，也是他奥运生涯的第21枚金牌。星期三，美国队的阿德里安还获得男子100米自由泳铜牌。各位听众，以上是美国之音的一组新闻简讯，由陆洋为您播报。感谢收听。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目。因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
各位听众观众朋友大家好，欢迎收听收看美国之音 VOA 卫视8月10号星期三现场直播的时事大家谈节目，我是宝申。今年早些时候，中国社科院知名学者于永定表示，鉴于中国已经陷入恶性通缩循环，有必要采取新一轮的财政刺激。这一观点提出以后呢，在中国引发了学界和政界的广泛讨论。虽然许多人赞成新一轮财政刺激政策，但是也有许多学者认为中国目前不宜采取进一步的财政刺激，因为新一轮的财政刺激会造成新的市场扭曲，不利于经济结构的转型。也有学者认为中国宏观经济的各个层面早已危机重重，已经陷入无法刺激的状态。那么中国采取进一步财政刺激政策利弊如何？我们邀请专家学者讨论这一话题。旅美经济学家、时事评论人士何庆莲女士通过视频连线从美国的新泽西州参加节目。北京大军智库经济咨询公司创办人仲大军先生通过电话从北京参加节目，我们欢迎两位。同时也欢迎各位听众观众拨打美国之音的免费热线电话参加节目的讨论。我们的免费热线电话号码是400-120-0551 400-120-0551。你还可以通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 上的网上直播收看并加入我们的现场讨论，网址是 youtube.com/VOAChina。 首先请问在新泽西州的何庆莲女士，我看到的今天的上海证券报的报道说呢，七月份中国 CPI 也就是消费者物价指数同比涨幅回落至 1.8%，预计八月份或者呢会进一步走低，预示着通货膨胀没有什么忧虑。而同期 PPI 也就是生产者物价指标同比跌幅则进一步收窄，表明通缩压力缓解。对此呢，分析人士认为货币政策将趋于中性，短期内难于宽松。请你谈谈你对中国经济现状的看法。
我觉得这个报告呢，作为这个宏观经济的参考指数并不合适，因为这个消费者指数它只要修改其中几样消费品，那么它就可以得出一个不同的结论。那么我要谈的就是目前这个财政刺激到底还有必要继续下去没有。我讲一个数据，去年呢是11万多亿，今年呢前六个月已经是75300亿，比去年还要高。但是呢这个贷款，新增贷款在增加，经济下行也在继续，出现了金融空转的现象。这个金融空转是个什么意思呢？就是一个是指这个新增贷款呢在金融系统内部账面上罚来罚去，没进入实体经济。还有一个呢就是指这个新增贷款在这个金融系统和国有企业之间划来划去，也没进入这个生产程序。为什么呢？如果说前者大家比较理解，比如投入到房地产，那么就无非就是买家贷款，那么银行把钱放了一个阻碍就行了啊，就是由这个贷款者来承担这个贷款，那么就债务就从房地产公司转到这个个人购房者身上，这个比较好理解。为什么国有企业和金融系统之间的贷款也是空转呢？讲起来也很简单，其中52%是那些国有企业借了新债还旧债，根本就没用入生产，剩下的一部分也多是短期贷款，不是作为长期投资。短期贷款和长期投资有个什么差别呢？短期贷款就是用来解决这个企业的资金流动性，不是用于这个做项目的啊，因为做项目起码要一年两年，那么三个月半年的就用不了，就是短期贷款。所以这金融空转的现象呢， 导致出现一个什么问题呢？就好像中国是一架悬空的汽车，发动机不断的在发动，但是轮子在空转，空转呢，在根本就跑不了步。目前就是财政刺激就是这个状态。那么这个都比2009年那个5万亿规模要大得多，情况已经不一样了，而且这个现象也不是今年开始形成的，是从这个2012年开始，资金流向呢就已经是避实就虚，避实呢就是绕开实体经济，虚呢就是进入虚拟经济。那么我先谈到这。
好，钟大军先生，现在也有很多的这个经济学家认为呢，中国现在的经济的发展模式都是所谓投资驱动型的，而且他们都基本上都赞同刚才何青莲女士的说法，就是这些投资实际上并没有进入实业的领域，没有进入生产的环节，而是进入到什么基建投资啦，或者是房地产的开发等等。你认为这是不是当前中国经济发展当中一个主要问题？
是的，何青莲女士刚才说的有道理。归根结底啊，说明一个什么问题啊？就是生产过剩。你的实体经济里边，你好比有些项目啊、投资啊，也没什么好投了啊，楼也盖完了，房子也盖完了，铁路也修好了，那你没有实业的话，那你资金有什么用啊？所以说，你的资金，你就是再放出再多去，它也在这空转呢。这说到是根本的问题，就是不仅你的实业停啊放缓了，速度减慢了。你的资金的效率的利用也大大降低了，是吧？你现在这个资金和80年代那个资金那个效率是根本没法比的，怎么那时候放出一块钱啊，结果能产生2块3块的效应，你现在放出10块钱可能也没有多少效应，这说明整个资金利用率啊已经是就是说非常非常低的问题了。
嗯，
在这种情况、啊、你比如是把中国比如成一个光发动机转轮子不转，说到底还是个实体经济问题，也就是说中国啊经济啊发展了30年之后，大规模的建设时期已经过去了，那么这个建设时期过去的话，资金财富有些各方面的哈这个都是剩下了，剩下以后你还想让他去政府啊拔高的哈这行政命令式啊要追求一个 GDP 指标，我感觉那是非常难的。就我，并且我认为这种政府行为也没有必要硬去追求一个7啊、6啊，对 GDP 的数字的这个追求，我感觉对中国来说现在没什么必要了，而是实实在在考虑你的经济质量，或者说你为什么有些投资没法投了，那么为什么有些资金闲置了，为什么有的人啊有了钱他也不花，为什么人没有钱想花没有钱，你现在是调整的这样一个问题。
是，
对吧？我所以说，你从宏观性这个金融啊货币政策来讲，你从银行角度哈央行角度来说，你往下放再大的水，再搞什么大水漫灌，有时候可能也没什么效应。除非你把水放到那些真正要花钱的那部分社会群体里了。如果说中国现在整个社会这个贫富分化非常大，或者收入差距非常大，你如果说能把一些资金真正放水能放到那样部分一些群体里边，我想肯定会拉动很多消费啊，拉动很多投资啊建设等等的。但是我想但是中国现在政府的调整方式啊没有调到那个份上啊，就包括俞永定这帮人，对吧？他们光是主张一个货币宽松啊，光是在那你货币宽松是什么样的宽松法？是大水漫灌呢，还是怎么精准的什么滴灌呢？这个东西倒是搞清楚了。
好的，
是吧？
何青莲女士，正因为如此呢，中国政府最近一直在强调三去一降一补，就是去产能、去库存、去杠杆、补成本啊，降成本、补短板。另外，中国总理李克强直到今天呢，也在强调要建立所谓的新的经济。那么在你看来，中国政府在经济转型这方面采取这一些措施，是不是已经开始奏效，或者仍然没有任何很直接的效果显现出来？
是这样的，如果要对中国政府的政策做个评价，只能说目标是美好的，道路是没有的，就是他设定的目标很好，但是呢常常要出发走的时候那个路呢是走差了，根本就达不到了啊。就比如最近这几个月 也盛传的南院跟北院之争，那么就是南院大家指的是习近平那一摊，北院嘛就是这个国务院这一摊。那么在这个就是习办和这个李克强的国务院关于这个经济方面呢，已经发生分歧。我看了他们双方各自的主张，应该说有的是这个国务院对，比如李克强说要对国企搞市场化改革，那么就是这个是对的，但是呢他提出的方法又不太对，就是要重新模仿朱镕基来一次再转股，就等于把这个企业欠的债本来是银行的烂账，那么就变成银行对企业的股份。那么这个方法其实用之不灵，不应该再去走了。市场化改革就是要让企业破产重组，不要再背这个包袱。好，这是国务院这一摊。那么你习近平那里就更方便，他谈的是要把这个国企做大做强。国企做大做强都已经做了好几十年了，毛泽东时代计划经济就是国企为王。那么后来呢邓小平开启了这个市场化改革，慢慢的到朱镕基最后呢就是抓大放小，然后到了这个温家宝时代又培养，又把这个朱镕基时代的那些抓的大培养成那个经济寡头，做大做强已经垄断了国内好多行业，结果最后现在都成了僵尸企业。你说这个做大做强的方向呢值得再继续尝试吗？我觉得不必要。所以呢就是我觉得对于这个经济政策确实应该坐下来好好讨论，要忍痛调整这个经济结构。比如这个民营企业过去一直承担着中国的主要就业的那个有的人说是70%以上，有的人说是60%几，那么最近呢这两年的数据下来了就是62%。既然是国营企业民营资本承担了这么多就业的功能，那么民营企业又讲效益，是不是能够货币放水的时候能够往这个民企放一点，然后在这个税收上优惠一点，鼓励他们真的创业，而不要像目前这个样子搞得实体经济无利可图。我在这里要讲一个特别重要的概念，中国的这个金融经济啊真的是畸形发展，到今年呢占 GDP 已经达到9%+。我们要知道这个英国也只不过金融经济也是占8%，美国是7%，日本是6%。那么中国一个后发展国家搞到这个样子这么快，最后呢还有一个数据更吃惊，就是占 GDP 就是占这个GDP 9%+的那个金融行业，却蚕食了中国经济行业利润的80%，最后弄得起实体经济呢无利可图，最好的那些行业也就是5%+的利润啊，那其他的好多就根本就是无力关门。在这个情况下，我觉得不调整经济结构是根本走不下去。
好的，我们现在已经有很多的听众观众网友打来电话或者提出问题，我们现在先来接听两位听众观众打来的电话。上海的李先生您好，您在我们的节目当中了。
你好。我觉得何女士刚才说的很对啊，主要是就是实体经济无利可图，房价它上涨，工资上涨，就是说成本越来越高嘛，包括税负也很重。但现在关键的问题怎么解决的问题，可能大多数人都没想到。我觉得还是李鹏94年的办法，就人民币一次贬值30%甚至50%，那么问题就都解决了。靠通过出口，那么企业都会有盈利的。当然更关键的就是要用这个德才兼备的李小鹏同志和朱云来同志，把这个李克强和刘鹤两个笨蛋换掉，尤其是李克强坚决反对人民币贬值，就是说只会加重这个中国的经济危机，因为他根本就没有做过任何的这个经济事务，对吧？以前就是学生会主席上来就一直当一些就是党政的官，他就是把现在经济管的就是乱七八糟的，如果伟大领袖再不把他换掉的话，那亡党亡国了。
好，接下来请四川的魏先生发表您的看法。魏先生您好。
你好，主持人好，嘉宾好。我认为这个中国在转型阶段应该有个阵痛期，相信党和国家一定会把办好的。 我就谈这么多。
谢谢四川魏先生，请北京的钟大军先生来解答一下刚才两位听众观众提出的问题，好吗？
这个第一个观众谈的就是关于什么人民币贬值的问题，这个东西不是随便贬的问题啊，这个并且这人民币确实也是在贬值，并且在贬值并不是表现在汇率上，通过国内的那个通货膨胀就是人民币贬值了，是吧？人民币并不是没贬值，而是非常大的贬值啊。他这一点，这个上海观众他可能不清楚。
嗯，
那么实际上我更感兴趣的就是想啊，这个重复一下何青莲刚才讲的这些问题，就是说中国经济今后要靠什么东西来重新啊，这个产生一些动力啊，哈，重新获得一些红利的问题。你说八十年代那个地方，我们吃的是制度改革的红利，对吧？你经过农村的改革呀，什么工业那个国企的改革啊，可以说吃了二十多年的这也是制度改革的红利。那么今天是不是要继续吃这种啊制度改革的红利呢？我认为仍然是有钱可挖的。你比如说国有企业这个低效率，对吧？那个高成本的问题，就这个问题，何先生刚才讲的这个问题的确是存在的。而这是中国可以说挖潜力，中国经济啊进行大的调整的一个确实必要的这个一个领域吧。你比如说，我就举简单例子，你现在中国的电信行业就算大国有电信，可是国有电信它那个电话费网上网费非常高，结果呢，你像北京吧，展开竞争以后，可以让民间的企业进来用这个宽带啊，建立宽带网的话，一下子就把这个电信的网就给把他的客户就争走了。你看，比如我就是个写例子，我就不用中国电信了，我也不用他的那个电话，我也不用他的网了。他上网的费用是那个就是民营企业的费用的四倍的到三倍，啊，你如此高的代价，是吧？如果说有民营企业，这些企业起来以后，很快就把你的大的国有企业也就竞争倒了。所以这里边是有非常多的，我就举这么一个小的案例，你就可以看出我们这有些国企它是多么的低效率、高成本。
是，
而这一大块的话，的确是可以挖的啊，这块潜力可以是不是能在中国今后的经济运行中啊发挥一些作用，是还值得探讨，是吧？
好，何青莲女士，有一位网友Lloyd Harbour 先生提出来，习近平大力提倡的供给侧改革到底是一个什么样的改革？在没有足够的消费市场的情况下，如何执行供给侧的改革？请您给简要的回答一下。
啊，供给侧改革其实呢就是去产能的好听的说法，也就是说调整经济结构，要让那些僵尸企业不再生产那些没有市场需求的产品。但是目前中国又有一个很大的问题，比如中国过剩的产业有三十几个，其中四大产业呢就是这个钢铁、水泥、高铁还有核电。那么就是这些呢，中国的产能呢必须，中国提出的就是用一带一路和海外投资来消化，但是中国目前呢这个海外投资又特别的不畅，所以呢就是这个高铁是第一大受阻的产业，那个核能也发生问题，至于钢铁呢遭到这个西方国家包括美国、欧盟反倾销的制裁，所以中国现在呢是放眼一看，这个国际贸易呢是路路不通，国际投资呢也处处受阻，国内呢又没有这么多需求，所以怎么办？我觉得呢，如果要想让中国这个经济和社会可持续发展，真的是需要从根本上做起，这就需要忍受一段痛苦期。这个痛苦期呢，经济会下滑，失业会增加，但是呢，一定不能够头痛医头脚痛医脚，像以前这样，那样的话会像今天这样问题累积到无法解决。
嗯，好，接下来我们再来接听一位听众观众打来的电话，天津的张先生，您好，您在我们的节目当中了。
你好。其实啊，我说了，我听了半天啊，就是听你们每个之间说这么长时间了，实际上最根本的问题，实际上就是一个制度问题。这个制度就是，这个现在中国的最高领导人和他这个共产党这些人呢，就是睁着眼睛的说瞎话。那个事情摆在那儿，他就装看不见。 实际上这些问题，你想想这个私有制，你这个公有制这个企业，你和这个私有制企业没有办法竞争。他说裁谁就裁谁，他是以经济效益为中心的，对不对？你这个公有制呢，你是什么党，坚持党的领导啊，什么这喊了一些这个乱七八糟这些事情，到最归根结底还得以这个经济效益。现在就是共产党弄的这些国有企业根本就没有效益。这怎么会？就是现在又变化发来，实际上他是弄的这个中国特色，这个所谓你这个特色，非得把这个特色弄成了，他弄得成吗？根本就不可能的事。
好的，
好，谢谢，
谢谢天津张先生。接下来是浙江的李先生，李先生你好，浙江李先生，您在我们的线上吗？线路看来有些问题，何庆莲女士，还有一位网友，他提出来呢，比起财政刺激，减税可能是更好的途径。为什么中国政府不减税呢？或者说未来有没有减税的可能？请您来给解答一下好不好？
是这样的，中国呢现在把这个财政看作重中之重，因为军费开支要靠它，维持整个政府系统要靠它，少数民族地区的财政转移支付必须到位，而且的维稳费用也越来越高，没有一样不要钱。那么要钱从哪里来呢？除了印钞之外，还得加税。那么就是印钞呢，我们也知道中国现在顶着一个巨大的货币烟山湖。这个燕山湖呢，虽然这个周小川用发明了辞职论，用这个股市房地产这两个辞职不断的去消化这个货币压力，但是呢房价现在越来越高，高到了全世界最离谱。那么股市呢，虽然去年蒸发了好多万亿，是几十万亿吧，让60万中产阶级这么消失了，但是呢还是中国政府发的钞票太多，消化不了，这个货币烟山湖随时绝口，所以他还得想办法交税，征税。征税呢，中国的税负其实把这个隐性的税算起来啊，真的是很重。中国的税呢，不是在于这些民税，就是个人所得税啊等等，而是在这个商品流转税、增值税、交易税这些方面隐藏在这边。所以不要说大家不是纳税人，美国中国人只要你消费商品，实际上你就交了税，而且中国商品的税可能在商品价格中间，有人说高占了40%左右，某些商品至少呢也在这个20%几，这样的那个消费税那是太高了。因为在美国，我们去打一个单子都知道，有的州低，有的州高，低的了3%，我们新泽西算高7%几，但是这是交在民处。中国呢是大家交了税不知道交税，不知道自己交了税。还有就是这个企业的税收，现在是30%多，那也是太高了。因为企业还有各种按的那个费用，除了这些民税之外，所以很多人呢说现在不办企业了，干脆就把钱放在家里，放在家里就是赚，是这个意思啊。
嗯，时间的关系呢，今天时事大家谈的讨论到这里就结束了。非常感谢何庆莲女士、钟大军先生参加节目的讨论。其实大家谈是一个自由的论坛，客人和听众观众发表的都是个人观点，不代表美国之音。以上就是今天 VOA 卫视时事大家谈的全部内容，感谢您的收听收看。请使用美国之音网站上的电视节目预告，点击卫视留言板，您就可以对即将讨论的话题提出问题或者发表评论，我们期待您的留言。你也可以到美国之音争鸣论坛在 Facebook 或者 Twitter 的账号上发表您的看法，网址分别是 facebook.com/voabbs 和 twitter.com/voachina。 我们期待与您有更多的交流和互动。明天的时大家谈讨论的话题是从孙杨看奥运精神对中国民族情绪以及第一届向中国认罪大赛，请在北京时间晚上8点到10点准时锁定 VOA 卫视，我是宝申，我们下次节目再见。